Good morning. I'm happy to be here today. I'm happy to be alive today. I've been in ministry 67 years. And many times pastors who go on vacation go down a list of pastors who are available, and they go down from top to the bottom and finally get, well, there's the old man, Jack Longley, we can always call him. So I'm glad to be back with you. I was here a couple years ago, and they invited me to come back again in spite of that. You know, my ministry, I have counseled hundreds of couples getting married, couples who are married, and couples who don't want to be married. I had a couple recently that came in. They were having a difficulty on who is in charge of the home. And the husband said to the wife, "You know, it's your responsibility to make the coffee every morning." She responded to him, "No, it isn't. The first person up should make the coffee." He said, "That's ridiculous. The woman is responsible for the kitchen, and she is responsible for the coffee." And she said, "No, sir, you are responsible for the coffee." He said it a third time, and she responded, "I can prove to you from the Bible that the man is supposed to make the coffee." He said, "All right, do it." She opened the Bible, and there it said, Hebrews. Takes a while. That was a long scripture lesson. But I asked Linda if she'd read the entire thing, because to me, the book of Daniel is one of the greatest books in the Bible. All of you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that probably never would have happened had we not gone through chapter 1. We know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and how God spared his life. That would not have happened. And how God used these people throughout, but it was not an easy start. In the third year of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, came to Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in dedication and in the treasury of his God. The king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some people from both the royal family and nobility. Youths who were without blemish, good appearance and skillful in wisdom, endowed with knowledge and understanding and learning, competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach their literature to the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food, the food that the king ate, wine that he drank. They were educated for 3 years and fed all this wonderful food. And then there came a time that they were supposed to stand before the king. Among these was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah from the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them the names Daniel as Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called the Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. But Daniel defiled in his mind that he was not going to defile himself of the king's food for the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "But I fear my lord, the king who assigned you the food and the drink. Why should he see that you were worse conditioned than the other youths because of your own age? So you would endanger the head of me to the king." Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants. Test us for 10 days and let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink." Now, mind you, they had been eating the greatest of the filet mignon and drinking the greatest of wine, and they're asking for this. And he said, "Then let your appearance and the appearance of these youths who the king's food be observed. And then you can see what should be done to us. So he listened to them in the matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the other youths of the king's food. So the steward took away the food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And I realize right now I am reading the scripture that you just read. Well, that won't charge extra. I'll try to pick up where I left off there. I thought something was wrong there. We decided the last minute that she would do the scripture, so I'm standing here reading, and I think this is the scripture. Well, this is an amazing story. We'll pick up where we went. These men are away from home. They can do whatever they want. Like many people who travel, nobody else is watching, so what would hurt if they did exactly what they were? When in Rome, do as Romans do. And so here they were. They had been handpicked. They've been handpicked, and they were going to be trained to learn the way of the Babylonians, and they were going to pass that down to their own people. It was quite a means of indoctrination, and it's a tactic that has been used very often by communists and other people. Nebuchadnezzar was convinced that the Jews would listen to these young men who would be far more convincing than the Babylonians. These four guys were wined and dined, as I told you, and they're taught this new language, and they were supposed to conform to where they were. Christians today find themselves in a post-Christian era. We're constantly being confronted with issues contrary to our beliefs. We're constantly asked to conform and to compromise, and God has told us to stand firm, and that's the issue. So Daniel and his friends ate the best of the king's food, food that was considered unclean in their religious beliefs. They were offered filet mignon, and that was the first sacrifice to idols. The decision before them, would they conform to the Babylonian lifestyle, and should they remain true to their own beliefs? What would you do? What would you do? Here you are in a foreign land, you do as you're supposed to do with them, you would think. We face similar decisions every day, to conform or to compromise, especially these days in our own country. They've been taught what they were being fed was unclean, and to partake in it was wrong and sinful. Then to add further insult, the four were given new names. Daniel became Belteshazzar. Hannah became Shadrach. Mishael became Meshach. Azariah became Abednego, which means servant of Nego. Nebuchadnezzar had one single goal, was to change their identity and hopefully their way of thinking. Today there are tactics like that to get us into present ungodly molds. So as you see, these four young youth were faced with incredible decisions while living in a foreign land, being forced into their godless lifestyle. What would they do? What would you do? So we've seen their problems. Let's look at their purpose. There's an incredible lesson in this for all of us. Babylonians had within them the power to change where they lived, alter their diets, change their names, modify their education drastically, but they could not change their hearts. They made up their minds to whom they would serve, and they would not dissuade themselves. Reminds me of Joshua, who said he would serve the Lord no matter what the consequences. One of the greatest verses in the entire book that was just read today, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine, no matter what happened. So Daniel went to the chief steward, as we read, and he requested that he and his friend be fed a vegetarian diet. Of course, the official was reluctant because his head was on the line, but he pleaded with him, give us a 10-day test. Then come back and see us after 10 days. So after 10 days, the period, they came back, and they found them healthier and better. King James Version says they found them fairer and fatter than all the other men who were under their authority. They had to remain to the commitment to God. They dared to be courageous, even when it would have been easier to compromise their faith. Who would know, or what difference would it make in so doing? But God blessed their efforts. God expects nothing less of us. So we've discussed the problem that they faced, their purpose. Now we come to their rewards. Know this, that God will always bless and God will always reward those who remain faithful to him and to his word. God never fails in the slightest ways to his faithful. I'm reminded of a chorus that some of our young people sing nowadays. The title of the chorus is King of My Heart. He says, he'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Meanwhile, 3 years later, they're given an audience with King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, imagine, 3 years as a vegetarian diet, and all of the others have been eating the filet mignon and wine, and who's going to look the best? Nebuchadnezzar talked with them and found none of them like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's service in a manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned him. He found them 10 times better than all the other magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus, which is 70 years later. Because of his faithfulness, God was given a position of authority in a foreign country because of his faithfulness to God. And we hear about how God used Daniel and these young men throughout the scripture. The main point of this message this morning is this. Christians can never let your guard down. There will always be temptations to compromise our faith, to go along with the crowd, and even the government. The argument is, everybody's doing it. Doesn't necessarily make it right for us. Everybody may decide to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, but that wouldn't be prudent, would it? So, my challenge to you is fix your eyes on Christ. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself or compromise your faith in Jesus Christ. Maintain your integrity in all environments and in all situations. Then ask what God would have you to do, and he will uphold you at all times. Amen.